to the Ordinary Youth Ministry Podcast, where we are cultivating conversations about our world that help us impart a joyful and enduring faith to your teenagers. Your hosts are me, Ellen Vosberg, John Mark Smith, and Andrew Unger. This week, we're diving into the top five best reasons to be unpaid. You can find more about this topic in our show notes. John Mark, how are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's good to be together. We kind of had the Easter craze, and now it's, well, actually not cooled down that much. We're still super busy, but it's really good. It's my favorite time of the year.
Right. Now it's kind of the rush to the end of the school year.
We should probably take a moment to explain why it's just the two of us talking.
We should. Where's Andrew?
Well, Andrew wanted to be with us, but unfortunately he was deeply engaged in a pickleball tournament this week and could not break away to be with us at the podcast. So he's going to miss out, but don't worry, he'll be back next time.
If there's one thing I know about Andrew, it is that he is passionate about pickleball, especially
true
competitive
story.
Pickleball.
Multiple people at our church play pickleball, and I keep trying to get them to invite me to play with them, and they keep saying they will, but they don't follow through, and I'm really kind of angry about it.
Oh, I was going to say, that's really hurtful. thanks for being vulnerable.
Well,
I don't know that I know anybody that plays pickleball, but I wouldn't mind finding somebody because I would like to try it. I've only watched it on YouTube.
Well, it's about on par for me to get into really trendy things about a year after they're not cool anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm on target right now.
I feel like they became cool. Has it been a year since it became cool? I guess maybe it has. I feel like the first time I really heard about it was like August of last year. So yeah, we are approaching.
Well, I'm just assuming that by the time I heard about it, it had been cool for a while already and I didn't know.
Right, yeah. Ugh.
So, but yeah, we're excited to dive in today. We got an icebreaker question for today since it is Easter. At least in the Smith family, we enjoyed quite a bit of Easter candy. So Ellen, what is your favorite Easter candy? And then if there's one that you could just strike from the annals of history as if it never existed, what would it be?
Oh man, that's really strong. First of all, I'd like to say that I respect and value all candy.
I don't want anyone in the candy lobby coming after us. We love all candy. This is an equal opportunity candy loving podcast.
That's right. So there's kind of two categories. In my household, our preferred Easter candy. This year we picked up one of those like chocolate bunnies, but it's Reese's. That was so good. Man, I loved that. That was really top-notch.
I didn't know they made like full size bunny.
Yeah. It was, you know, like a little, like one of those chocolate bunnies
filled with chocolate on the inside.
Yeah, well, like peanut butter, like a Reese's cup. But yeah, the bunny was chocolate. Yeah, big. It was good.
Wow.
We sort of like sliced it up and ate it over the course of a couple of days. It was really good.
That's a lot of restraint to wait a couple of days to finish that off. Way to go.
Well, I mean, you know, it, like two sittings. So we ate half of it one day and half of it the next day.
Thank you for your vulnerability.
It wasn't sort of like bite-sized parceling it out. None of that. And then we also feel really passionately about Starburst jelly beans, but we buy the reds only. I also really love this is now discontinued, which I read about after Easter this year, because my husband looked for them in the store and couldn't find them. And then I went searching for information about it, but the buttercup eggs butterfinger eggs, which yeah, apparently are gone. I really love those, but the one that I,
you know, it's okay.
Without.
You don't have to answer. I know you don't want to offend candy lovers out there, so it's okay.
No. I can be brave. The one that I think I could really do without, are the like weird Cadbury eggs with the yolk. I'm not into those. Those kind of freak me out.
It does feel a little bit weird. Like you're biting into it, and then suddenly some. It's messy and it's gross, and it's like, strange.
Yeah, no. Hard to eat on the go.
So, Yes, well, I will agree with you about the Starburst jelly beans. They're my favorite. My all-time favorite was the Starburst sour jelly beans, but I did not find them anywhere I looked for them this year. So I'm nervous that Starbucks has let me down and they've canceled those. But yeah,
Yeah, that is
we'll
really
see.
worrisome.
And I was thinking about, I want to change, we were discussing this before the podcast a little bit, but I'm going to change my answer. If I was to get rid of one candy, it would be licorice flavored jelly beans. Because they just don't belong. Like you're eating a handful of jelly beans, and unless you're eating Harry Potter beans or whatever they're called, like you want flavors
Harry
that go
Potter
together.
beans.
I don't know what they're called. The ones that, what are they from Harry Potter where they all taste gross and weird?
Oh yeah, I don't remember
Yeah.
what that's called, but I know what you're talking about.
But if you're eating a handful of nice fruity beans and all of a sudden you get a licorice in there, that is not a
Oh,
good,
no,
no.
it's
Get
not.
rid of that stuff.
You know, a new Easter candy that I tried this year that I hadn't had before. My mother-in-law put it in an Easter basket for my son, who is 6 months old, so he cannot eat this candy. So that's why I was eating
Bummer,
it.
I guess you had to help him out.
Yeah, before all the children also come for me as a parent eating the Easter candy. Just
I
warding
think
off
we have
my
a lot of
enemies here.
young children listening to our podcast. That's
Yeah,
a good thing to
exactly.
worry about.
And sending us angry emails. No, but it was Swedish Fish made
Oh.
like I think they were technically little eggs that kind of reminded me of dots, but they were smaller and, you know, gummy like a Swedish
So
fish, but all kind
you're
of
telling me it
different like
was
flavors. They were
Swedish caviar? Is that what you're telling me it
Oh
is?
my gosh, maybe that is what it was. But they were kind of like the Swedish fish interpretation of jelly beans, and they were really good.
Okay. Well, I would be willing to try them. I'd be willing to try them for sure. There's no hate on that. So, well, our Easter candy is pretty much gone already, so we'll have to move on now with normal life. And today we're going to move on by talking a little bit about what it's like to be an unpaid youth leader. See how I did that transition there? That
It
was
is. That was
wonderful.
beautiful. And really, how awesome it is
How
to
awesome,
be
totally awesome.
unpaid.
And actually, I was thinking about this, Ellen. Do you realize that we became friends essentially when we were both unpaid
Oh
youth leaders?
my word, you're
Because we had
right.
been working under a youth pastor who transitioned out and they hadn't brought the new person quite in yet. And you and
It
I
was
and
like
one
a
other
summer
friend,
of kind of weirdness
yeah, you
where
and
there
I and
wasn't
one other
anybody in
friend
charge.
were unofficially leading the youth
Yeah, I don't
ministry.
know. I don't know if
None.
anybody knew what we were doing, but
We
we were
were
doing
do
it.
yeah, exactly. We made stuff happen. No one was going to staff meetings. No one was
No,
talking to the
where
anyone on.
I've actually never thought about this until this moment. Were any of us doing this in conversation with anybody on staff, or we were just
I
doing
think
it, I think.
we just talked to each other and said, well, I guess we'll do this for now. I don't remember. I think, yes, I think we told the youth pastor who was coming in, because they had picked a guy, he just couldn't start
Yeah,
yet.
he just couldn't
I think
start
we'd said,
yet.
like, hey, we'll take care of some stuff. But I don't think we had talked to anyone else really. Yeah.
Wow,
So
look at
we met as
us.
unpaid youth workers, not just volunteers, but like really kind of running a youth
Yeah,
group for a
yeah.
summer.
I mean,
And we
we were
both
meeting to
also,
plan and
yeah.
make everything happen.
And we've both also been paid youth workers. So we've lived in both worlds.
We
And so
have.
we thought it'd be good to spend a little time talking about the pros of being an unpaid youth worker, because that's something we talk about a lot. So we thought we'd just dive in and we put our brains together. We really dove deep. We researched hard. We explored all the possible pros and cons. And we come up with what we call the top five reasons it's good to be an unpaid youth worker. So, without further ado, because I know that everyone is just cannot wait to hear about that, we want to start with we're going to do a countdown style. So, from five all the way down to the number one reason it's good to be an unpaid youth worker. So, starting with number five, Ellen, what is the reason it's good to not be a paid youth worker?
We have the number five reason is that the buck don't stop here.
That's right.
Which means you can't get in trouble.
That's right. No one unpaid has ever gotten in trouble ever in the history of the church.
No, but it does mean that ultimately, like you don't have to be, man, it feels weird to say this, but you're not the most responsible. When people get mad, you can always appeal to a higher authority, which would be whoever your paid supervisor is on the actual church staff.
I don't work here, so take it up.
I don't work here. It's not my fault.
Father Joe. Talk to him.
Exactly. And that's great, right? Because I feel like it gives you the freedom to try some new things, maybe to even take some risks.
You can watch a PG-13 movie and it'll be okay. Because if anything's a problem, you say, oh, sorry.
Sorry. My pastor, my senior pastor told me it was okay.
Yes. Now the question is, it probably varies a little bit, obviously, from what your head pastor is like and how much you run things by them first. But yeah, I think that ultimately that element of like, look, I'm just the guy or woman helping out here, giving freely of my time. Just, it does alleviate that pressure of, you know, responsibility at a certain level. And that's not to say unpaid youth workers don't feel responsible, because every unpaid youth worker I know feels deeply responsible and cares.
Yes.
But there is
definitely responsible for like student safety.
Yes.
That's not what we mean here.
Yes. But like angry parents, you know, I've heard they exist in youth ministry world. I don't know if you've heard about that rumor that they exist.
Oh yeah. I've heard.
I can neither confirm nor deny the reality of such a thing. But if they exist at your church and you're unpaid, then you have an easy, I'd love to pass you along to the staff member who's responsible for that.
Yeah. Who is ready to hear any and all of your complaints.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
So I think that is helpful.
It does like instill a certain level of freedom, right?
Now, Ellen, have you ever taken advantage of that benefit to pass?
I don't know that I have. My sense of responsibility is like overextended. I take responsibility for things that are absolutely not my responsibility whatsoever. So yeah. I don't know that I ever have, but I do use it like when I'm feeling anxious about something I'm going to do, I do use it as like a level of reassurance. It's like, okay, well, I did run this by my rector, or like ultimately if somebody complains, I will call in my rector. You know, I use it to reassure myself when I'm like, I don't know, I've never tried this before. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Because I think that was going to be my next question was, have you felt the difference having been in both positions of how it affects the way you think?
Yeah. Yes. I definitely think I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so. I mean, I've only had the one experience being the unpaid official, kind of helping lead things. And we were doing that together. So that was a benefit too, because I can just be like, oh, it's Ellen's fault.
Right. Yes. It works even better if you have multiple people with you. And so then whoever they're talking to, you can just blame each other.
If you set it up right with a triad, everyone can just blame one or the other person and just keep getting passed around.
Exactly.
No, and we're being facetious, but no, we're not trying to make light of that too much. There is, it's more about the load you carry internally.
Yes.
Than it is actually about what you do in taking responsibility, interacting with others. So, I think that is a good thing. The way that you kind of come into it is we come in as youth workers, knowing that at the end of the day, there's somebody over us, to use some complimentary language. There's a covering.
Yes. Yes. There's a covering. I like that.
Yeah.
All right. So, John Mark, what's our number four reason?
Number four, the fourth best reason it's good to be an unpaid youth worker is because in some ways you actually have more stability as a unpaid youth worker than when you're paid, which might seem contradictory, but if you're unpaid, it means you're probably getting your income somewhere else. Maybe your parents are wealthy and you're just living on, you know, your inheritance, but most likely you're working another job.
Right.
And while that does add stress, there's no doubt we could do a whole podcast about the challenges of unpaid youth ministry, but so it adds time and difficulty in some ways. But what it does is it gives you a job that is probably more secure and probably better paid. And so you have this sense of stability. And so if youth ministry goes through a down season, which it does sometimes, right, where we were just talking about that, like at the end of the spring and its attendance starts to dip down. And when that's your full-time job, like your job is relying on participation, and you're like, I need to do well here so that my job is justified. But when you're unpaid, you don't feel it.
Right. Because, yeah, that's not how I'm feeding my family.
Right.
Not how I'm paying my bills.
Right. If a new head pastor comes in and says, oh, I don't like that John Mark guy. He's out of here. Like, that'd be sad. That'd be hard for sure. But like, look.
Sure.
I okay, great. I just freed up some time and now I'm still making my money and doing my thing.
Exactly.
So now you've done bivocational youth ministry, Helen?
I have, yeah.
Okay. What was that like for you?
It was really good. I was doing bivocational youth ministry in a context where like they didn't have the capacity like in their budget on their staff at the time to have anyone really beyond like 10 to 15 hours. And so I really liked it because my day job is working as a Bible editor. So in some sense, like my day job, my stable job is a ministry. And so I get to kind of maintain that ministry while also getting to explore, more maybe the next level of ministry in my own life. I do think ultimately I would really love to work full time in a church context. So it kind of gave me the opportunity to explore what that would be like in a small way while still having, the protection, the stability, the comfort of my regular job.
You got to dabble your toes in the water, see if you like it.
It really is kind of the best of both worlds, right?
Yeah. I've never done the unpaid bivocational youth ministry. I guess that's not true. Because when we were doing it together, I was working another job.
Yeah, you had a regular job.
So I did do that. I was thinking about, I also had a brief time where I was working a full-time job plus doing working for Youth for Christ for a little while. That was technically paid, but it was so small.
Then it just almost...
I don't even remember getting a paycheck. Stipend. I don't remember getting a paycheck, Alan. Like, I'm sure one came at some point, but I couldn't tell you what it looked like.
Wasn't noticeable.
No, not at all. So, yeah. I think it is nice in that sense that there was that during that season, it was because when I was doing it, I was thinking about that because I was doing Youth for Christ, and the whole point was they hired me to try and start a ministry to youth in this school. And there was a lot of pressure to make that ministry succeed, right? And I felt it because I want to do a good job and I want to succeed. But at a certain level, I can't imagine what that pressure would have been like if I also knew my entire vocation, career, financial income was based on whether those middle school kids decided to come to my new program, right?
That would be way too stressful.
At some level, I could go home and be like, well, worst case scenario, I have a job. So... yeah, that was great. I really thought that was helpful for me in that time. And I really, even though it does come with challenges, there's a certain thing that I didn't appreciate at the time. At the time, I was just like, oh, I can't wait to get this thing to work and for me to switch careers full-time into youth ministry. But in retrospect, I can really see the gift at it that I didn't see as well at the time.
Yeah. I mean, with all of these things, like there's good and bad, pros and cons, but
for sure,
if you focus on the pros.
I think that's maybe what I'm trying to say too, is we're just going through this list is when I was unpaid, I was so focused on wanting to become paid. I didn't pay attention to the pros. And this, I'm hoping this helps maybe somebody out there who is in that situation be like, oh, maybe there is a benefit right now I have that I didn't realize I had.
Yeah, I think that's true. So. All right, what's our number three?
Number three, best reason is to be unpaid is because when you're hanging out with students, they can't claim you're hanging out with them just because it's your job. it's the youth
very
version of
cynical teenagers.
You know, it's the youth ministry version of, well, you have to say that, Mom. You're my parent. You know, like
it is. Yeah.
You know, no, I don't have to say this. I could walk away. It wouldn't cost me a dime.
But I really do care. No, but it's true. I definitely think that can be an element in paid youth ministry. I don't know. I haven't had very many seasons where I'm paid. And so I don't know that I've like dealt with that particular anxiety much. But I can definitely see how, like, yeah, as a volunteer, like, my simple presence can show students that I care in a way that you don't always.
Well, as,
I can see you don't have in the same way when you're the full-time paid person. You do kind of seem like, well, I'm paid to like you.
Yeah. Well, I am paid, and I do show up at student stuff, and I try and be present. And I think it does communicate that I care.
Yeah.
But I will, I've often said to my volunteers and to adults in their church, like, hey, when you do this, it means more than when I do it.
Yes.
And at some level, I think that's because there is no question about why anyone else is there. Like when, when a volunteer shows up, it's just because they want to love that student.
Well, when, it shows a level of sacrifice that you that is not always clear. Like, I absolutely think that our paid pastors and ministers sacrifice for for the sheep, but it is very clear that the sacrifice is there when you're just doing it of your own volition and out of your own personal time.
We could say it symbolizes that reality in a more clear and direct way. And I think with adults, you know, they have a greater awareness of what it takes to sacrifice to go to those things. And also the general sacrifice that you went into ministry, and that was not probably in order to make money or whatever. Whereas youth might not think about that stuff as much, but they know, like, when, you know, when Billy Bob comes because he just is their friend from church, they understand that. And we were talking about this off camera too, but just, I don't think that's something they intellectually process and then will say back.
Mm-mm.
But it's more of a core, deeper level of, like, they intuitively understand.
Yeah. And maybe something that they don't realize until they're older and they're reflecting back on, mm-hmm. like, their experience in youth ministry and the relationships that they had with other adults when they were young. Because that's definitely something that I do remember there being a point in my young adulthood where I realized, like, oh, yeah, like the people who were there. I didn't realize it at the time, but I became much more aware of the level of like love that they were showing me, the kind of care that they were able to give. Yeah.
Well, an unpaid youth worker really is in some ways the best of both worlds, right? Because you have the benefits of what volunteer ministry brings with some of the benefits of what being a paid youth pastor brings just without the pay, you know, like.
Right.
And there is something, I mean, volunteers ministry are adults that just love students. I mean, that I guess this is a philosophy of ministry point for me, but I think they are the impact of a good youth ministry. And the youth pastor's impact is real. It's not nothing, but it really is the volunteers that are going to be the most significant.
Right. And so that the youth pastor in some ways is the facilitating role.
Right.
They're there to facilitate the relationships being built by other adults in the church and students. So they bring the structure. In some sense, they bring the authority. They maybe bring the specialized training to explain the Bible or, you know, expound upon the faith development of adolescents.
Right.
At the end of the day, they're there to, the heart of a youth ministry is to create the structure for students to build relationships with one another and with other adults.
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a bonus one. We didn't talk about this in advance, but I do wonder too, as a kind of outplay of that, when you're a volunteer and you're building these relationships in a volunteer sense, is that more likely to be able to kind of continue on once you're no longer doing youth ministry because it wasn't your job, right? It wasn't your job to do it.
Right.
It was just a thing you did because you loved and cared.
Yeah. That's true.
Oh, great. So we've got a couple more reasons to go. Two final. We're getting down to the really good stuff, you know, guys. Up till now,
the really important ones.
If you've been questioning the value of this list, don't fear, because these last two are going to just really prove our point. So our number two most significant reason it's good to be an unpaid youth worker is because unpaid youth workers have an easier time setting and keeping boundaries. Ellen, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. I mean, what the like, I feel like the number one thing you hear about the challenges of ministry in the like the present world we live in now, but I think it's probably true. It's always true, is that like burnout is a real problem, right? That the ministry is the kind of thing that you can really just like you don't there's no such thing, right, as part-time ministry. We use that terminology because we're fitting it into the structures of like work in the society that we live in, but that's not really a thing, right? You don't part-time serve God. Like, it's a whole, you do it with your whole self,
right?
Your whole heart. I mean, if you're doing it right, you do it with your whole heart, your whole self, your whole body, all of your time, like, is in like devoted service to the Lord. It's really easy to sacrifice your family to, mm-hmm. Like there's a grave danger that you sacrifice your health to it.
Right.
That ultimately you sort of cut yourself off at the knees, mm-hmm. and you're not able to do ministry anymore because mm-hmm. you subsumed your whole self,
right,
into it, right? So it can be a double-edged sword. But when you are unpaid doing ministry, you have the freedom to set firmer boundaries, because
right.
I think that not only can you take those limitations more seriously, some of those are imposed on you, right? Like, if you have another job, you have to devote X number of hours that your other employer expects you to devote. But I think it also gives you the opportunity to, like, set firmer boundaries around your family. Like, no, I have a family. I'm doing this on a volunteer time. So these are the hours I have to devote to it, and no more, because the rest of my time is for my family, right, or for my, like, sort of personal mental health, sort of maintaining like a healthy lifestyle. And like, when you are being paid, those kind of boundaries become a lot murkier, right? Right? I mean, like recently you and I, we've been talking about, you know, how to define what you do with your hours as a paid person. Mm-hmm. And like how difficult that can be, right? Because when you're paid, that time just becomes like your boundaries become a lot murkier. Like, people demand, like, they expect, like, there's this natural expectation that like you are available to them when they ask, because you're their paid, like, you're the staff pastor.
Yeah.
And so when you're unpaid, it's a lot easier to be like, this is the time that I have and no more. Sorry, I can't do anything for you. Like, this is time I'm giving freely. And
right.
So you can't actually force me to give more than I'm
right.
going to give.
Yeah, I think that's right. And for me, the real benefit on that front in terms of boundaries is more for what it does inside of me than even what it does to requests coming from external sources.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so I am a paid youth pastor. That's my job. And as a result, I feel responsible for all the things that both are happening and could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I put a lot of pressure on myself for thinking about what good youth ministry should be, could be.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter how well
the
things
ideals.
Are going. Yes. No matter how well it's going, what else could I be doing that I'm not doing, right? Like, that's just the way I think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I realized, like, well, I've already maxed my hours this week, but good youth ministry needs all this stuff. And just, it's just obviously partly my personality.
Sure, yeah.
But also, as the person at the church paid to do youth ministry to our students, like, there's a certain pressure that I just put on myself for that.
Yeah.
And being unpaid does not mean that my personality magically changes. But I think it does create a little space that makes it easier to tell myself, oh, okay, I'm not in charge of all of this. I don't have to do everything, which is a good reminder. Basically, what we're saying is, hey, when you're unpaid, it helps it be easier to remember you're not Jesus. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, it helps you practice humility.
Right? Like, I'm not Jesus, and I'm not Jesus now and that I'm paid either.
No, but it is harder to keep that in focus. Like, that you feel like you, like, that when it's your job, you feel like you have to be all things to all the people.
Right.
Yeah, that you have to build something perfect or something ambitious or
right.
Yeah.
And I guess go ahead.
It's I do think it helps like we call them boundaries, but it's almost like it builds a like a realism about what you're capable of, what's possible, what you actually have the resources to do. You're much more practical about them, I think.
Yes. Yeah, that's a great way to put it. That once is your job, there's a whole new set of expectations that come. And that's the crazy thing, right? Like, you could be an unpaid 10-hour a week person or a paid 10-hour a week person. But as soon as the money enters in, expectations are different.
Yes.
And yeah. That's so interesting, isn't it? Because
it is.
Nothing about the ministry changed just because you got paid.
No. But yeah, it's like a higher level of accountability when you're having to give an account of almost like what you're doing with like God's money, God's time, you know, and by extension like the money and time of the like people of your church, right? Because that comes from them.
And I think we were talking about this a little bit as we were preparing today, but also there's a little bit of like when you're on staff, like there's a lot of things you're expected to do that are extra.
Mm-hmm.
And it's easier to have the boundaries say, no, I'm not going to that meeting. Oh, I don't need to be a part of that thing. I am an unpaid youth worker. I don't do that. But again, as soon as you're paid, even if it's the same number of hours a week, you're like, oh, I'm going to a lot of meetings that, don't really help me do my job.
Related, yeah.
which for me, my personality is like, I like being a part of the church as a whole. So I'd probably enjoy those meetings, but they suck up your time.
Exactly. Right. They're not necessarily.
When you're paid, you got to go where your boss tells you to go.
Yeah.
When you're unpaid, it's easier to say, nope, I am not going to do that thing. Oh, there's a staff retreat that's going to take 12 hours this weekend. I don't think I'm going.
Right. Your time is not your own, or it is your own when you are unpaid.
That's right.
All right. Now, tell me what that number one reason is.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, we've saved the best for last, of course. I think that the number one reason we came up with where it's good to be unpaid is because as much as we don't think that unpaid youth ministry has like some inherently unique or different substance to it, that there is a spiritual reality going on that makes ministry done solely for the sake of ministry different than when I'm doing something to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean that paid ministers are doing bad ministry. That's not our point at all. I should hope, because otherwise I've had 7 years of really bad ministry.
No, we're very pro paid ministry.
Yes, very pro. That's our next podcast. Yes, next exactly. podcast.
We'll
be
get
all
to that
about
next
that.
Time.
But there's something when I'm doing something just because it's what I love and what I feel called to do. Mm-hmm. There's something different inside of me happening.
Yes.
Then when I'm doing it, and all of us, when we talk about our jobs and even, there's parts we like and parts we don't like, but I can tell you stories of people who I knew who are doing youth ministry and keep doing youth ministry after they wish they weren't because it's their job.
Yes.
And they need to make money.
100%.
And, I don't know many that have stayed in it too long after they should be done,
a few years.
A few years. Yeah, it can be a few years.
I feel like everybody hits that point where they're like, oh, I've maybe been doing this 2 to 3 years past when I should have. Because, there's no longer that joy and enthusiasm. It is just your job.
And to be fair, both in paid and unpaid, joy and enthusiasm can ebb and flow. Like, that's
That's just a normal reality of
paid
life.
Paid people are joyless and unpaid people are joyful. Don't get paid, Alan. Your joy will just get zapped.
Your joy will be zapped.
And that spirituality is probably more about the fact of our human hearts and how easily we are distracted and by pay and concerns of that kind of thing than it is actually about the ministry itself. But we are human, so that's what happens.
Right. Yeah. And there is something. Yeah, I think there's almost like a. I mean, I feel like I keep coming back to the word freedom is like the overarching benefit of being unpaid.
Right.
Yeah, there is like a spiritual freedom to that money is not an element, that kind of like that aspect of our like, fallen nature where we can become obsessed with. Mm-hmm. Where we can get greedy. Or when that shifts into being our primary motivator.
Right.
Yeah, like that's not an element at all. I'm not being paid for this. I simply do it.
Right.
Yeah. And, yeah, the fact that I do it out of love for Jesus, love for students, it remains foremost when I'm unpaid.
Yeah, that bitterness you mentioned, I think, is important, because as soon as money enters into the equation, it creates a new dynamic.
Yeah.
And I think about it, you know, if you look at the average pay for a youth pastor, it's not good. That's also that's another podcast we could do, right?
Yes.
So as soon as I enter into this transactional, I'm doing this ministry to get this pay, for most youth pastors, there's going to be a certain low level kind of constant frustration around, I'm not really paid enough to live super well.
Yeah.
Now, of course, you can have the same problem of like, I'm not paid and I wish I was paid, and that can create frustration too. So, but once we accept, I'm just doing this because I feel called to do it, and pay, I'm not looking for pay. If I can get to that place, then spiritually there's a freedom for sure.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. And it's exciting to be able to feel like you're fulfilling a calling. Like fulfilling a calling it's usually in its purest form, not about money, or the tangible benefits we receive from fulfilling a calling. It is about the spiritual realities of that calling and the joy and fulfillment that brings.
We could even say that in some ways, tell me if I'm going too far here, Ellen, that a unpaid youth pastor is prophetically speaking to our culture. That our vocation and our paid work are not the same thing.
Yes. And that, like, people who are often overlooked as valuable in our society, right? Which are adolescents, that they're worth it even if I'm not being paid. I think that's a prophetic aspect as well. Yeah, no, I think you're 100% right.
And
signpost of the kingdom of God is what unpaid youth ministry.
Yes, exactly. Unpaid youth ministry is the most kingdom-like thing we can do, for sure.
Yes.
Well, I think it's good to acknowledge, like, and for a lot of churches, for logistic reasons, that might be the only option.
Yeah.
And so, and that's okay. That's not inferior in any way. In fact, it's spiritually superior. We've decided.
Wow.
God has a preferential option for unpaid youth workers.
Yes. I love it. I love that.
Okay. That's awesome. Well, this has been a really fun conversation, Ellen. And Andrew's going to be really sad that his pickleball tournament conflicted with it.
We do
have a list we've also made of reasons we think it's good to be paid, because that's also a good conversation. So we'll save that for our next episode, because
tune in next time.
Yeah, because we want to leave you with a little carrot to come back for next time.
That's right. Wanting more.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Ordinary Youth Ministry podcast. You can find our podcast online at ordinaryyouthministry.com and at OrdinaryCast on social media. You can also contact us directly with any questions, comments, or ideas at ordinaryyouthministry@gmail.com. We hope this conversation will help you impart a joyful and enduring faith to your teenagers. See you next time.
Bye-bye.